Once again, welcome to worship. And once again, as we gather this day, we are mindful of mothers or those who have mothered us, whether they be related or not in this life. We pray for expecting mothers. We pray for strength and power in motherhood. And of course, we grieve with those who have experienced the death of a mother or difficulty in relationship, or any who have hoped to be mothers and have not been able to due to whatever reasons. We lift all of that up before God today and we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, grace and peace and mercy are yours this day through our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. These past few weeks of the Easter season, we've been encountering all of the different stories of Jesus' resurrection from the four Gospels. And one of the things that struck me over these past weeks in the accounts and the experience of the disciples' emotions and actions is that, I don't know, it's almost as if the biblical writers weren't too concerned about the believability of the resurrection story. Or maybe to put it more kindly, the gospel writers at least seem to not be overly concerned about the believability of the resurrection. They seem to understand the unbelievability of it. That might seem like a strange thing, and yet I think there's a decent argument there. Every one of the gospel writers notes how even some of the most intimate people of Jesus found the resurrection to be utterly dumbfounding. Today's reading from the Gospel of Luke says it a couple times. The writer says that when the disciples saw Jesus, they were terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And even after Jesus shows them his hands and his feet and allows them to touch him, the writer admits that they have some hope of uplifted spirits, and yet says, while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. I, and perhaps many of us, can relate to this. After all, in our common experience, the dead don't come back to life. People buried in a tomb don't get up and take a stroll 3 days later. No matter how many zombie movies I watch, I don't expect groaning animated corpses in the street tomorrow. But maybe it's not that the gospel writers are unconcerned about it. Rather, they tell the truth of the unbelievability. They tell the truth. It's hard to believe. The first disciples had a tough time. I think maybe either the church brochures should say, come gather with us and hear the story of Jesus. Don't worry, even some of his closest friends thought it was nuts. And yet the gospel writers also don't shy away from still proclaiming that Jesus was, in fact, raised. Death could not hold the love and presence of God away. And it's why the Apostle Paul is so bold to write, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Could death kill God's love? Well, it did, and God's love kept going. This year, as I come to the story, I notice another aspect of the resurrection. While the gospel writers do not shy away from doubt and disbelief and tension of the disciples, they also do not shy away from proclaiming that Jesus was raised with a body, that is, physically. This detail might be difficult to believe as well. For instance, I think I could come to terms with the resurrection being some kind of mystical vision of the risen Jesus, maybe the aura of his soul or some manifestation of the mind of the disciples. But every one of the gospel writers makes the point to note that Jesus was raised bodily, physically. When the women go to the tomb, the body is gone. When Jesus shows up, the disciples are invited to see and touch the marks in his hands. In Luke's story today, Jesus enjoys a bit of broiled tilapia. And of course, it serves as proof that it actually is Jesus. But perhaps it also serves to proclaim that the resurrected Jesus isn't merely some mystical idea. Jesus is God in flesh, even in the resurrection. And while it might be weird and even a bit unbelievable, I believe it's good news. After all, don't our bodies need resurrection too? Aren't our bodies a part of God's holy creation, which bears the burden of life and love and pain and death? That's why I find it so important to note that the resurrected body of Jesus even has scars. I'm not sure we notice that enough. The resurrected Jesus isn't all patched up. You ever think of that? He's not some image of heavenly perfection, or rather, he is an image of heavenly perfection, and heavenly perfection includes scars. That, dear friends, could be a drastic word of hope for us. For if the resurrected Jesus knows scars, it means that the resurrection in Jesus knows us. It makes me think of some of my own scars, a couple from surgeries, of course, but in little bumps and bruises along the way, but one in particular above my eyebrow here, which has thankfully healed a bit. I received it from a 3-pound rock from the shore of Lake Superior, thrown at me by my sister. We were on the North Shore as kids, and Dad and my sister and I were tossing bigger rocks at each other's feet in order to splash the water up on each other. And while I bent down to grab a stone at the wrong time, while my sister was launching another one at me, it clocked me right above the eyebrow. I went dark until I hit the water, and suddenly we were making a detour to the Grand Marais Hospital to get stitches. What scars do you carry in your body? We might try to hide them. They might be perceived as unsightly, and they can be very difficult because they serve as lasting images and reminders of trauma. They remind us of real, true stories of pain or limitation. To this day, when I rub the spot above my eye, I can kind of feel it back in my head, and I'm reminded of the event. As I come to the resurrection story this week, I'm reminded and I hear that Jesus knows scars. And in fact, they're a part of who Jesus is raised to be for us. He carries them in his body, just like we do. And the resurrected Jesus knows emotional scars too. He knows the scars of grief and sadness and betrayal and unfaithfulness, of heartbreak and sickness. He met them and encountered them and carried them with him in his life and in his death, surely. And perhaps surprisingly, he carries them with them even in the resurrection. And I believe it's for our sake. There's something powerful to that proclamation because it says that when Jesus is raised, it's not to a body of perfection as if nothing ever happened. It's a body which still holds our humanity, all of our humanity. And then what does he proclaim to us there? Peace. Peace be with you. You are redeemed, set free, made new, scars and all. Each week in this community of faith, we often say the Apostles' Creed, and in it we confess belief in the resurrection of the body. It might be perhaps one of the most striking phrases that we say, for how could we possibly know what the resurrection will be like for us? And yet, I believe the good news of it, that the love of God carries even our bodies, our imperfections, our limitations. God carries our scars, not doing away with them, but encompassing them in the body of Jesus and in the work of God in the world. It's a further proclamation of how meaningful it becomes to say, the Word became flesh The Word became flesh and lived among us, died our death, and is raised in our humanity. What scars do you carry today? I'm not sure what the resurrection is exactly going to look like beyond this life. Nobody really does. But we have hints and glimmers of what it looks like in this life. It looks like healing, even in the midst of trauma. It looks like bearing grief with one another, walking with our scars, and being real about the pain and mistakes and difficulty of life, sharing them even as an aid to one another. And yet, still having the presence and the hope to enjoy some boiled fish, perhaps, and to continue to work for healing and love. I confess, along with some of those first disciples, sometimes it's beyond my belief. And yet right now, today, in this story, I take heart in the proclamation that the resurrected Lord of life is not a mere idea. The resurrected Lord of life has a body. Even more so, Jesus' resurrected body contains scars. And if this is true, then the resurrected body of the Lord of life also contains me and you and the entire creation in which we struggle to make a way, to love our neighbors. We stumble and we get back up to love again. So this week, as I look at the scars I carry, I see the love of God for me there. Not that the trauma didn't happen or not that it's minimized in any way, but that Jesus is present for me. Giving life with, in, and for us, even now. Perhaps Jesus is in your scars as well. So may the peace of God now in our bodies today, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.